Welcome, everyone, to Gabbing with Babish. My name is John Newman. I'm a big fan of the hit YouTube cooking show, Binging with Babish.
And my name is James Nichols, and I'm also a big fan of the internet cooking show, Binging with Babish.
Binging with Babish is a YouTube cooking show where Andrew Ray makes the food from film and television, and we're going to talk about it.
Yes, we are. Episode 264, baby!
264, Nintendo's latest gaming thing. Great, great work, John. How you doing, James?
Johnny, I'm dying. I'm simply...
You're dying?
I'm suffering. I am a hero for being here.
Are you
no
sick?
One, yes, no one has ever suffered to a level I've suffered in that I have a head cold and it stinks.
Huh. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were feeling sick. I just thought you weren't responding to text messages.
Nope. Just a stupid head cold that I started feeling on Thursday. And there's nothing worse than that feeling of like, I think I'm getting sick. And then you get sick and you know that the next week of your life is just going to be a stuffed up, annoying ass.
Well, at least the bulk of it was in time for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was great. It was just in time for me to feel not great on the weekend, and now here we are, and I'm not sick enough where I can stop doing things. That's
right.
The other thing.
Did you work today?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And I'm going to work tomorrow because I'm not sick enough.
You're barely sick.
Barely sick, but enough right. Just to feel terrible.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of barely sick, do you want to introduce our guest?
I sure do. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Joe Strick.
I'm extremely sick in the good way, in a way that means I'm cool.
with that sweet S. Sick
I'm,
with that
I'm,
cool
I'm,
S.
Yeah, the stussy S or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how sick I am. It's a dollar sign. Hi, thanks for having me, boys.
Thank you for being here. A pleasure.
Ozzie Guillen.
Oh!
During his playing days, 264 batting average, won a World Series in 2003 with the Marlins as a coach, and in 2005 with the White Sox as a manager.
Was he a...
Wait. Coach versus manager?
Like on the bench, coaching on the bench. Not like one of the sub-coaches.
Got it.
Was he always with the White Sox, or did he go to the Tigers at one point?
He was on the Marlins 2 years before that.
Misremembering.
As a manager, he was with the White Sox for a while, and then the Marlins for 1 year.
Mm.
We also have Jimmy Rollins, if anyone wants to talk about Jimmy Rollins.
No, thank you. He played for the Phillies, and I don't care for them.
I'd like to briefly talk about Ozzie Guillen doing backflips on the field. I thought that was fun.
Different Ozzie. A great joke for the six people who are going to get a joke about two different baseball Ozzies. None of whom listen to this podcast.
A to C is fun. Joe, yeah. Thank you for being here. I already said that. I'm doing amazing.
Hey, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Listener, we didn't record last week, and I'm sorry, but I'm not that sorry. We were all tired. I got married, and then we didn't record because we were traveling or various places.
Bam! Three wife guys on this pod now.
We had to check the legality of three married men doing a podcast, and I think we're in the clear.
That's right. The twist is we're married to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a throuple.
three men and a prenup. That's the name of the show.
That's right. On CBS.
Baby.
And a pizza place.
Why do they drop the pizza place, you wonder, huh?
That's right.
Remember, it was three guys, a girl, and a pizza place. And then they were like, actually, it's just called Three Guys and a Girl now. There's no pizza place.
Wasn't it Two Guys and a Girl?
Hang on.
Yeah, but wouldn't
that
be
funnier?
It was
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
It was, yeah. But wouldn't it be funnier if it was Three Guys, No Girl, and a Pizza Place? That would have been my executive note. How about we get that girl out of here, throw another dude in there,
pizza
but we
Sunday
keep the pizza place.
Should have been the name. Is Three Guys, No Girls, and a Pizza Place. the first two seasons was titled Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Wasn't that Ryan Reynolds?
It was.
It was Ryan Reynolds and then a bunch of other folks, none of whom are...
And then how many seasons when they dropped a Pizza Place?
They did two seasons Pizza Place, two seasons No Pizza Place.
Oh, well, they should have done two seasons then of Two Guys.
You know what everyone loves to hear is very lacking commentary about a show that no one watched.
About a show none of us watched.
20 years after the fact.
My older brother watched it. I remember that.
Which
How did
one?
It not come up when we were all hanging out?
It didn't come up. Oh, that's right. Now, my co-hosts have references.
Yeah,
to
now I know which
are.
Ones it could have been.
That's right. It was Dan. It was the oldest one.
He strikes me as a pizza place guy.
Yeah, he loved Ryan Reynolds. Was a big fan.
Given his affinity for pizza, I was going to be like, Dan, that's a two guys, a girl in a pizza place, no one ass motherfucker. Yeah.
That's right. Very, very good.
Yeah. It was very fun, Johnny, your wedding. It was a great time.
Don't tell the listener about it. Don't.
Okay.
It was very fun meeting your family and everyone going, wow, John's brother David looks exactly like John. Which is his other brother? No one. Because Dan does not look like you and David nearly to the degree that you two look like each other.
No, so, he unfortunately has been keeping his hair, and it's very upsetting.
Well, I think something about having a couple of children also kind of sucks your essence out. So I bet he looked different. I bet he looked just like you, and then he had kids, and then he looked like a different guy. That's how
right.
that works.
Yeah, yeah. Every time he was like Voldemort, every time he made a Horcrux.
Exactly.
A little less like me is how he looked.
One thing that was fun was it happened a couple times, sometimes directly to my face and sometimes just within earshot, but not at me, which was, oh, you're one of the podcast guys. Sometimes again happening right here so that I could react to it. And sometimes from off to the side where I could hear someone go, that's one of the podcast guys.
Yeah.
But
so you could run screaming into the conversation.
The amount of times I was addressed as, oh, you're one of the podcast guys, truly humiliating.
It was truly, every time.
Truly an emasculating experience.
To have your essence reduced to the lowest possible art form.
Now, was it people who had heard the podcast, or was it people that my mom had told about the podcast?
It was most... I think it was a combo of both for me.
Yeah, for sure. Also, what a delight to meet Pam Newman. Oh, my God.
The legendary
Pam Newman.
She's listening
to you right now.
I know. That's what's great. Hey, Pam, had a blast.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Lived up to the hype.
Yes. Well, the dress was killer. The food was fantastic. Your husband and son's speeches were all great. Well done, Pam.
That's right. Way to go, Pam.
But the food also, Johnny, at the wedding, superb.
We had some good wedding food. It was at a Spanish restaurant.
Tapas.
They had, what was exciting for me was we had a tasting like a month ago, and the paella was mediocre, and it was at the wedding significantly better.
Paella was really good.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah, really good. I'm surprised that it was mediocre because it was, it was great. Those potatoes were insane.
Patatas bravas are
patatas bravas.
We've also skipped right over the nosh table, which I thoroughly enjoyed. A great nosh
table. I was taking photographs for the nosh table. What was it? I paid for it.
We had Iberico ham, which was delightful. A whole mess of veggies and dips and hummus and crackers and stuff. Just a nice little charcuterie
spread.
Table. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. This is not a criticism, Johnny. I would say what I got from the nosh table was good, but by the time I got to the nosh table, it had been pretty well picked over
by the time I
got there. Mm.
Well, James, you remember from a couple weekends ago when we were in the car and Emily and I are having a conversation about how much stuff
yes,
to get?
Yes,
clearly
I do.
We messed up.
I think it was a fine amount. I not everyone needs to have a full plate full of stuff.
Some of that might have been me, Jimmy. I was taking the Iberico ham and sort of stuffing it in every pocket that I had for later.
That's smart. Yeah. For later.
So that I could have night ham.
A pocket full of hummus, too.
That I was sort of reaching into on the dance floor and then scooping into my mouth with my fingies.
I had a lovely time at my own wedding, but some highlights podcast related was I looked over and at the bar is Joe and my mom, and Joe just flailing his hands wildly about in some kind of a story.
Yeah, that sounds like me. I talked to both your mom and Emily's mom.
It was Emily's mom that I looked over and saw you gesturing wildly.
To
the podcast listener, I don't know how to describe Joe's energy at weddings, but it is at times, it's like Tasmanian devil combined with, I don't know, there's a level of chaos that is just surrounding you that you move through weddings like a tiny tornado. That's why I think of
yes a tiny tornado that is helping other people, hopefully, but also
No, it's a benevolent tornado for sure.
Yeah, one snapshot that might help the listener is I turned at dinner, looked over, and Joe is guzzling potatoes bravas, grinning from ear to ear, while his wife has his tie and is tied penning it because it fell into the potatoes.
It did fall into the potatoes.
I forgot about that.
I'm a big dumb animal, folks.
He did not stop eating for his tie to get work done.
At that point, the tie is a lost soldier. I'm not dealing with it. I have other things to do.
Oh, God.
I have a plate full of potatoes bravas. Also, Johnny, your cake, phenomenal. Notes on
the cake. We were very pleased with the cake. It was a peanut butter and chocolate cake. We were debating whether to order one sheet or two, and we ended up going with two. And we thought we'd have tons and tons of leftovers. We did not have that much leftovers. We ate it all in the next couple days. So I think we got the right amount.
Were you able to save a piece to freeze it so you could eat it a year later?
So the chocolate peanut butter cake was sheet cakes for the guest. We had like a little fancy, like smaller white cake that we cut into. So we saved that. So that's in our freezer now.
A white cake? Like a white liquid cake?
No, it's just that was the color. It's a funfetti cake, actually.
Outstanding. Hell yeah. Great choice.
It wasn't that good. The peanut butter chocolate was significantly better. Funfetti was kind of dry. And I bet in a year it'll have gotten much better.
cakes in freezers definitely always get better. That's a known rule.
I am very pleased in how I packaged it. I had a food saver bag, but I don't have the food saver like attachment that actually like seals it or sucks the air out. So what I did is I took Emily's straightening iron and I sealed one end of the bag, and then I sealed about 90% of the other end.
Suck it with your mouth?
Took a straw, put the straw in there, sucked it, and then pinched it, and then sealed the rest of it, and then put that in a Ziploc bag. So I think it's going to be pretty airtight, which I'm excited about.
That's a thinking man's seal job.
You know what's going to be super fun, too, over the next year is just moving that thing around your freezer and trying not to destroy it.
It takes up 40% of our freezer.
Yeah, that is one of those traditions I do not care for, and I don't even remember if we partook in. I don't believe we did.
We had to because we moved before, like the cake wasn't going to make it down from New York to Raleigh, so we just at a certain point when we realized we were moving, we were like, well, let's start digging into the cake, which was a real win for your boy.
Joey loves a cake.
I do love a cake.
How many slices did you have at the wedding, Joey?
I had mine own slice, and then I had gotten my wife a slice that she did not want, and I was halfway through it, and then someone, I want to say it was Mr. Brightside came on, and we all...
Yeah, I didn't end up having any dessert because I went into the dessert room, was about to start perusing, and then Mr. Brightside came on, and we all ran back, and then I never got any dessert.
It was hard to be off the dance floor when the killers are playing.
Yeah.
Sorry, James, I think he interrupted you and you were going to say something.
No, I don't think I was. And if I was, I can't remember it because my brain is mostly snot.
One other food note from the weekend that you both didn't experience is we had dinner the night before with our families. And it was a dinner for 16 people that I think there was enough food to feed 42. It was insane.
That's the ideal. Way every dinner should be.
Where was it and what was it?
It was called Sundays in Brooklyn, and it was like a menu that they had these really good little boneless chicken wings, but actually like boneless chicken wings. Like they took the bones out of wings and then fried them.
Yes.
A salad and some really good roast chicken, some salmon. But the roast chicken, there was like an entire chicken every three people. It was crazy.
Yeah.
This place sounds dope, dude.
That rules.
Yeah.
If you two had been there, you would have helped because a lot of the people were children. And they still accounted for them like, and so it was just like
as though they were real people. Yeah,
it was so much food.
We did have some decent pizza at your place before the wedding, which was nice.
Yeah, I was debating doing like fancy like trying to get pizza from like a nice place, but we just did the place that you've had not a million times, but you've had plenty of times when you come to my apartment, which is Antonio's, the closest pizzeria to my home, which is pretty good.
What a weird name! What a weird name for a pizzeria place to have.
It's called Antonio's Close to My Home.
Antonio's the closest place to my home.
One of the hallmarks in New York City is that the best pizza place is the one that is closest to your home.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everyone has that, where it's like, hey, look, it's New York pizza. Is it the best slice in the city? Almost assuredly not. But guess what? It is around the corner.
I did not also partake in the pizza for diarrheal reasons.
But you did make me order an extra one.
No, I didn't.
I think that was me. That's my bad, Johnny. I was thinking on
also
on James's...
didn't everybody? Oh no, they didn't eat it. We didn't eat all of it.
No, but I was thinking of James's pizza math.
No, it was fine to have leftover pizza, but and that is what you said. I said, should I do two or three? And you went, it's always good to have leftover pizza, which is true. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with what you said, but proceeded not to eat it.
Listen, buddy, I told you I wasn't going to eat it for diarrhea reasons. The moment you suggested pizza, I emailed back and I said, I will not be eating that because of diarrhea.
You made an investment.
For diarrheal reasons is going to be like a real tell-all book from James.
That's my autobiography. I had a lovely bagel with peanut butter and jelly from a place around the corner or from a block away from me. It was very good.
Did you get that?
What was it called?
This is important for the podcast.
I just want to say the moment's about to pass, so I'm just going to say... James's autobiography is also called If I Did It, and the it is eat cheese.
I went to a place called, it was BK Bagel and Deli.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice. The Burger King is doing bagels now.
Yeah, it was good. I don't know. It was just like a deli.
It's great.
The bagel was good. Peanut butter and jelly on a bagel. Delicious.
We love it. Love that for you. Oh, yeah, right on Washington. Yeah. I know this place.
A very fun wedding, Johnny. How did you, were there non-food related, what was the highlight? Aside, don't say marrying your wife, loser. We get it. What was the highlight? What was a low light?
And don't say marrying your wife, loser.
Yeah. It's really going to be tough to... No, I thought it was overall great. It's such a weird feeling being in a room where you know everyone and everyone else knows not everyone. Like, it's just a very bizarre feeling. But it was really nice. It's really fun to look out and see everyone you know in one room.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it was tons of fun. I really liked my brother's speeches and Emily's sister and her dad's speeches. I thought were great. Just the whole day I was very, very happy with. I was pleased with our dance floor. The amount of people dancing I thought was very fun. We had a fun little after party. The whole thing I thought nothing went like logistically wrong, which I was shocked about.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everyone what one of the readings was at the wedding?
It was from the movie Hitch.
Yes.
I got a big laugh. I was very nervous beforehand. I'm like, people aren't going to get that this is a joke and it's just going to be silent and people go, what? But
Katie, to her credit, sold it perfectly.
Oh, she was really, the perfect reading.
Yeah,
she did a great job.
Her timing was great.
I did feel bad for I forget, was it Lucy who did the first reading? Because that was
my
like
friend
a very,
Molly did the first reading. My like friend Molly did the first reading, which was a serious one.
Yeah, it was like a very serious, very genuine reading, and like again, and like there was what is always the reaction to a reading at a wedding, which is nothing. Nobody did anything. And
you don't
then
clap.
Katie did a reading, and there was a borderline standing ovation as she walked back to her seat.
A night at the Apollo. It was crazy.
That was great. I was very disappointed that your dad reminded or let the audience know who he was, because I was ready to yell out as you had given me permission to yell out.
I sure had.
I was so ready, and I wanted. He started out. The first thing he said was not who he was, so I was like, And then he's like, "For those of you who don't know," I was like, "God damn it!"
Oh, this son of a bitch!
I heard you laugh pretty good when he said his name.
I was mad.
I could like distinctly hear your laugh from the crowd.
It was also nice because most readings are also like, "Love is patient, love is kind." Like they're all those fucking things. So it's nice to see it be broken up. Like everyone's. Waiting for something to not roll their eyes at, you know what I mean?
Right. And I did the first poem. I really, someone sent it to Emily, and we both really liked it, and we thought it was a nice,
yeah, it was great
message. But it also did serve as a setup for the next.
Yes, your plan worked perfectly.
Right.
Yes, which is to say that you gave Molly an unwinnable task.
Hey, every comedy duo needs a straight man, you know.
That's right. Yeah. You have to go up here and you have to be, which one is it, Abbott or Costello? The point is, it was going to be a great reference.
Right.
So it would have been
and all I had
fun.
To do was take one of my oldest and dearest friends and throw her under the bus.
Oh, what a blast.
No, overall, yeah. I was thrilled with it. I'm thrilled that you boys were there to be a part of it. I like James has my favorite. I think James is my favorite drunk because all James does when he gets drunk is tells you how much he loves you and says really nice things. He's the nicest.
Wait, where's that ever been for me?
Yeah. except to Joe, who I corner and say, listen here, you little fuck.
Quit spinning around all crazy.
Quit being a little tornado.
Quit making the Tasmanian devil sounds and riling up and spinning around.
You can tell James is in his cups when he says the sweetest, nicest thing you've ever heard. It genuinely.
Yes, agreed.
It was a very good time. Also, Johnny, I want to thank you for seating me in genuinely the most primo location of the entire wedding.
Truly.
To the point where my wife and Joe and his wife, they were in great spots right up until the dance floor, and they had to have their seats disappeared on their table.
Yep.
And mine was the last seat, and I didn't have to move or do anything.
They moved some tables at my wedding.
You had the view of the bride and groom, and then you got to keep your seat.
Oh, it was the best.
Well, you're welcome.
As has been mentioned, if there's anyone who didn't need a seat by that point, your boy.
Yeah.
Right. Joe was out on the dance floor pointing to a random spot on the floor. To which people around were going, what is he doing?
Everyone loves when that happens. Everyone loves,
I had a good time with it.
Everyone loves the Christmas, the wedding dancing tradition of pointing at the floor. To the beat, of course.
When you did that at my wedding, so many people did it, I genuinely thought we were going to crack the floor. It's an old building with like redone floors, and I was like, we are going to puncture one of these old boards.
There was that wedding we went to a couple years back that was on where you could see through the slats. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Down this way.
In Raleigh, right?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyway, enough about that.
As much as I love talking about my wedding, you know what I'd like to talk about more?
What's
that?
Bob's Burgers.
A show that is very good that we have talked about oh so many times.
For sure. Still haven't committed to it the way I want to. It's still very funny.
Yeah.
I also feel like, though, Bob's Burgers is long enough gone that I don't think I ever will.
I'm kind of there with you.
Well, it's still going.
Watched like three or four seasons of it 6-7 years ago. I don't know.
There are, let's see, how many are there? There are 272 episodes. So, like,
can you imagine someone doing like 200 plus episodes of a thing?
I mean, listen, 264 episodes of something, that's nice, right? 272, a little extravagant, don't you think?
If we're on the Bob's Burgers track, we're about to release a movie. We're about to have a Gabbing with Babish movie here soon, so.
Yeah, and we're going to start working with
Watch
Kristen Schaal.
Watch this space is all I'm saying.
episode of Bob's Burgers is a nice one for him to keep coming back to because he constantly just like it's such an easy canvas to make burgers, and whenever he wants to make a burger he can come to this at like an episode of Bob's Burger and there's gonna be a great one. This one is a little bit of a weird one. This is the If Looks Could Kale burger from Bob's Burgers, which is a fun, it's the perfect amount of pun for a Bob's Burger burger.
Yes, agreed. Silly. We start the episode with a view of Swiss chard, not
right,
kale.
And James acutely pointed out, he says, that's not kale. And then Babish goes, that's not kale. And then we all laughed.
I am a genius.
I had to look it up because I was wondering why we're only using the Swiss version of this stuff. Where's all the other chard coming from?
Yeah, what'd you find?
That the word chard descends from the 14th century French card, from Latin cardus, meaning artichoke thistle. The origin of the adjective Swiss is unclear. Some attribute the name to it having been first discovered by a Swiss botanist, and there are two different Swiss botanists it could have been. be it as it may, chard is used in Swiss cuisine. I think so either way. The point is, it's all charred. There's no Swiss anything about it.
Great. This has been Entomology with Joe. We've all learned.
Don't we love when the podcast gets into me falling down a rabbit hole and getting too serious about something that no one else is on board for? Doesn't everybody love that
literally
part?
No one gave a second thought about ever. Like, why Swiss? No one cares.
No one cares. Nope. No.
But leave that in the baseball portion of the show.
Leave that in the first 3 minutes that people skip over now.
I am excited for the NBA playoffs to get into more of like the full swing so that we can do another thing that people don't care for.
I mean, anyway, chard is a biennial. Clusters of chard right. seeds are usually sown.
So the first thing
Northern
he does is he makes kale chips to put on the burger, and those look good. He makes kale, he puts like oil and some garlic, and then roasts them in the oven, and they become kale chippy. What are our thoughts on a kale chip?
I think it's the year
2006.
Yeah, I think I remember having a couple like a decade ago. They were good, but like, what's the point? They're not that good. I would rather not eat chips than eat kale chips as a substitute. Does that
my question, because he mentioned, and this potential stupid question coming in here.
I love it.
You bake it and it becomes less nutritious. Is that the case for all things?
He said that
a lot.
A
lot of things. If you bake them, especially if you're going to the consistency of like a chip,
sure.
You are basically just destroying whatever they
you're
are.
You're killing off all the good stuff in there.
Yeah,
got it.
I
that
do
makes
think
sense.
Things lose their everything loses its nutritiousness as you cook it, but like
sure.
some more than others. But this is it's literally just a thin leaf that you are cooking to the point of being crisp.
The opposite should be true, then. If I refrigerate a Snickers bar, it should get healthier.
Yes. Correct.
Baking doesn't have a significant effect on most vitamins and minerals in vegetables, except for B vitamins. That's what the internet says.
Well,
B vitamins are important, though.
Yeah, you need them to be. Come on, folks.
That's right. Or
Come
not
on.
To be. We have a nice time. The burger he makes, he grinds his own meat, which he's done a couple of different times, but this one I think he does 50% chuck, 25% brisket, 25% short ribs, which does sound like a great burger. Like I remember he did a basics episode, I think probably not long before this one, where he does experiments with different meat types and like what the burger's like, and I think this was his favorite ratio.
This looked fantastic. He even overcooks it and it still looks juicy as hell, like the way
amount of fat in it.
With that much fat you can definitely overcook it and it's gonna be absolutely wonderful
for sure.
That said, I don't ever foresee being a grind my own burger guy.
No, it doesn't seem like, I mean, I might at some point if I really feel like, I don't know, if I want to have like a really nice burger. I think this might be a type of thing where it's like if you're having people over and you want to do like a fun burger experiment together.
Yeah.
But I'm probably not doing it.
Yeah, there's just it's a lot. There's a lot involved.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work, a lot of tools and things like that.
You're more into grinding bones to make your bread, sort of like because you're an ogre.
Yes.
Just sort of a joke where I call you an ogre.
But people love my bone bread. All right, they love it.
That's the one type of baking he can stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It's bone bread.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes the burger, and then he, like James said, overcooks it, puts some cheese on it. Was it, what did he put on it?
Gruyere.
Munster cheese? Gruyere cheese. And then kale. I bet it was good. I feel like it needs a sauce.
Yes,
but
it does. That Gruyere was not
in the sauce.
Yeah, the dryness of the, although, again, with it being that juicy, maybe it doesn't.
But flavor, I'm just thinking flavor-wise, like, you could go for, like, I don't know, a Korean barbecue or, like, even, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but if you, Joe, not, this is both a veiled shot at your palate and a praise of what it's like. When you are making your, I do know that, like, when the meat is that high quality, you don't take away from it by putting ketchup or something on there. You know, like,
no one said ketchup. Who said ketchup?
Listen, we all know. You can say
obviously
Korean barbecue sauce
ketchup.
All you want. We know what you meant.
Obviously, I said Korean barbecue as a shield for the thought of ketchup.
It's like Mike Birbiglia said, think ketchup, say Korean barbecue sauce.
Yes. And?
But yeah, I don't know. I think it looks good. The next part of the episode, he tries to make a veggie burger out of black beans, and he fails miserably the first time. And God, the second time, it looks just okay.
Yeah, the whole process of that was gross to me. Don't eat it.
He didn't,
don't care for it.
He didn't do enough.
I enjoy a black bean burger.
I was going to say, I've had some very good black bean burgers.
Same.
In my life.
It feels like it doesn't belong in this episode. Because it's like, every time I've had them, I'm like, this is good. This is not a burger. You have to think of it in a different way.
Yeah, it's a veggie patty sandwich.
Right. Yes, very much so. And in that sense, very delicious.
It needs its own new name, right? Like, burger shouldn't apply to that thing. We need another thing.
Sidebar, the fact that the Brits call chicken sandwiches chicken burgers bothers me every time.
Johnny, I'm so happy you said that. There was a Reddit post recently where someone's like, oh, here's a buffalo chicken burger, and it was just a fried chicken sandwich with buffalo sauce. I lost the amount of people that weren't freaking out in the comments truly upset me. Like, it's not a burger. It's a sandwich.
Right.
First, they keep the U in all these words that don't have a U. I mean, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
With these people.
The one thing that I can get behind, it makes it clear that it is a fried chicken sandwich. Sometimes you hear chicken sandwich and you need an adjective to know
that
if
can
it's
mean anything.
Be, right.
A grilled chicken sandwich.
It could
fried
be grilled
chicken sandwich.
It could be chicken salad.
Yeah, we're going to do the Bubba Gump thing about it.
That's right.
Could be a pole chicken sandwich.
In the same vein of Brits getting mad about different words, I learned today that it was originally called soccer before football. Did we know this?
I don't know. I don't know enough.
I'm just going to say yes, I did. I'm very smart.
Yeah, well, you know Joe's smart. The thing, I still get them being like, it's stupid that you call your football football. Logically, that is still correct. But if soccer actually predates football, I feel like us Americans, we finally got the upper hand.
Yeah. That's nice to finally...
after a century of us, of America, very, very measurably losing, for sure.
To the UK, specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we had that one win a while back.
That's right.
And then it's been a bit of a standstill.
Yeah, Johnny, I don't know that would be interesting if it was originally called soccer, but also it, in the British way of just very straightforward calling things, football makes way more sense.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, it's the thing, it's a ball that you hit with your foot. Kind of says it all in the name, you know. I like hockey. What are we going to call that? Stick puck skate, guys? Come on.
Yeah, there you go.
It's fun. Hockey's not a descriptive name. Let's go. Should we do all the sports? Golf? What's that even mean? Okay, we can be done now. just a progressively stupider guy who's like, what is
sports? We just fade out the episode. We don't even do that. It just slowly gets quieter and quieter.
Cricket? There's no bugs in that.
You know what's a good one is racquetball. That's very accurate. Racquetball.
Racket and ball. You know what's a bad one? Badminton. That means nothing. That's nonsense.
Do you watch, have we talked about Taskmaster? Have you guys watched Taskmaster, the British show?
You brought
show?
It up before, yeah.
I love it. It's so British. One of the tasks on the episode we watched last night, I laughed out loud. One of the comics is like known for his puns, and they had to bring in something the size of a cat, and he brought in a toast rack that was made out of like a dead cat bones. And then someone asked, he's like, do you even have a cat? And he said, and this made me laugh, sorry, he goes, I do. His name is Minton. And then sometimes when he eats a shuttlecock, I get to say badminton. And it made me laugh so hard because it's so dumb.
Jimmy Carr was on Conan's podcast this week talking about like if someone does one pun, it's like annoying. If someone does two puns, it's even worse. But if you do three puns, you get an applause break. Like, it's something about stringing them all together that makes it work.
Yeah.
So keep listening to this pod, and eventually we will come up with our third pun.
That's right. We'll get there. This was a good ep. It was fine.
Yeah.
I have no more thoughts.
It was a little two-for-one special. One thing that looks great and another thing that looked like literal shit.
It did, yeah. It was very much, they should change, you don't want to see how the sausage is made to you don't want to see how veggie patty burgers are pressed together.
Because that don't want to see how, you don't want to see how the beans get mashed.
Yeah, that was very much a looks the same going in as it does going out type scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, and I think it's probably where we have the origin of the phrase, don't deep fry your bean patties.
Right. That is where it comes from.
I think that's probably where we get that.
You know, my father always used to say, don't.
It's like, shut up, old man. We don't say that anymore.
The Native Americans used to have a saying. It was, don't deep fry your bean. There's an old Chinese proverb that said something similar.
Didn't Lao Tzu write about it?
No, yeah, Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu wrote the Art of War. His two rules: don't interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake, and don't deep fry your bean patties.
They knew even back then, and this guy still tried to do it. Back then, in ancient Chinese times.
God, are you not up on your ancient Chinese philosophers? Dude?
One of the tenets of Confucianism: don't deep fry your bean patties, comma idiot. Anyway.
Do we have a email?
Nope.
Guys! If you like the podcast, please like and subscribe. Give us just 5-star reviews if you want to follow us. Well, God, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sick. Instagram that exists.
Spiraling.
Send us your emails with your questions, comments, concerns to gavinbabish@gmail.com.
Okay, bye.
We've done it.
Bye.